Hello, this is Kathy Hart, host of the Health First Radio Show. Today we have some wonderful guests on for you. In the first half, we're going to talk to Jalaija Boheim, and she is going to be talking. She's the author of The Magic of Circle Work. And in the second half, we have Rhea Stone, district manager with the Vancouver Coastal Health, talking about hospital food. But first, here's Alan with the Health First News.
Long-term low-level lead exposure may be linked with more than 256,000 premature deaths from heart disease in middle-aged and older Americans each year, according to a new study. The researchers analyzed data from 14,300 people in the United States, covering nearly 20 years. All participants had a medical exam and a blood test for lead at the start of the study. The findings revealed a link between low-level exposure and increased risk of premature death. Lead exposure has been associated with hardened arteries, high blood pressure, and coronary heart disease, according to the researchers. The findings were published online March 12th in the Lancet Public Health Journal. You can add hearing loss to the many health risks of smoking, new research suggests. For the study, researchers analyzed 8 years of health data on more than 50,000 people in Japan. After accounting for work-related noise exposure and other hearing loss risk factors, the investigators found that smokers were 1.2 to 1.6 times more likely to suffer hearing loss than people who never smoked. And the more people smoked, the greater their risk of both high and low-frequency hearing loss. The increased risk of hearing loss associated with smoking did decline within 5 years after a person quit smoking, the researchers reported. The study was published March 14th in the journal Nicotine and Tobacco Research. A pill that combines three blood pressure-lowering drugs improves people's chances of lowering their high blood pressure, researchers report. The pill contains low doses of the three medications, telmisartan, amlodipine, and clothalidone. The finding stems from a study of 700 people who averaged 56 years old. All had high blood pressure. Among those who took the so-called triple pill for 6 months, 70% had achieved their blood pressure targets, compared with 55% of those who received their usual care. Usual care meant taking whatever blood pressure medicine their doctor prescribed. The rate of side effects was no greater among those who took the 3-in-1 pill than among the usual care group. The study was presented March 11th at the annual meeting of the American College of Cardiology. Weight loss surgery may help severely obese teens with type 2 diabetes far more than medication and lifestyle changes alone, new research suggests. A small analysis found that bariatric surgery did a far better job than drug and lifestyle management in achieving significant weight loss and reversing diabetes, said study lead author Dr. Thomas Ng. His investigation, involving 93 teens in all, found surgical treatment was associated with significantly better blood sugar control, reduced risk markers for heart disease and stroke, and improved kidney function. Ng, chief of pediatric surgery at Children's Hospital Colorado in Aurora, said during the last few decades, the prevalence of type 2 diabetes has substantially increased in the pediatric age groups. The findings are in the March 12th online issue of JAMA Pediatrics.
We have the author of The Magic of Circle Work with us today. She's worked with women around the world using the circle to heal and empower. And today we have Jalaija with us, and she's going to explain to us what circle work is, how they gather, and what led you initially to the circle work.
Hi, Kathy. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes you're craving something and you can't find it, and you have to create it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I was craving a way of being together with people that I just was not finding in my community. And I wanted to create a space that felt really safe and really sacred and where people could really show up authentically without needing to hide. Mm-hmm. And in these circles, there's also a real sense of sacredness, even though there is no, it's not a religion, there's no belief system or anything like that to adopt. And yet, because we slow down and we listen so deeply to each other, a very natural sense of sacredness does arise in these circles. And I think more and more people are hungry for that.
Absolutely. What kind of people do you see drawn to this circle work?
Well, I work primarily with women, although many of my students also do work with men. And many of the women I work with are in the healing professions. They might be counselors or therapists. Some of them are ministers. But many of them are also activists or women who want to make circles available in their communities. So they come to the circle work training and they learn how to lead this form of circle. And then they go ahead and do it. And so now this work is being practiced really all around the world in many different countries.
Isn't that wonderful? You've even done it in the Middle East where the circles unite Jewish and Palestinian women.
Yeah, I go there regularly, and I love working with those women. And that is an example of a place where it really seems that women have the power to make the difference. And, you know, when these women come together, first of all, most of them are mothers. So they really have a sense of wanting to create a better, a more safe world. And so right away, even though they might come thinking that the other side is the enemy, those beliefs transform so quickly. And what really happens is that they fall in love with each other and they realize how much they have in common. And it's such a beautiful thing to witness happening.
Mm-hmm. So it's actually seeing what makes us the same rather than what makes us different when we come together.
Yes, exactly. And I really think, you know, there are many things we can do over the internet and online and so on. But I think when you really want to dissolve prejudice, you got to meet face to face with the people that you're afraid of or maybe just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And in that meeting face to face, and it doesn't only happen in the Middle East, we have lots of prejudice and racism and so on in our culture as well. And so in the circle, many times people get to meet who would in normal life never meet each other. And it's just amazing to see what happens and how we can mutually enrich each other.
Wow. And do you think people have difficulty coming into the circle? Like, it must, you know, in certain circles, it's hard to come, and they all come with the intent of healing, but it's still difficult to just come into that space.
Yeah, I think that it takes a certain level of courage, mm-hmm. you know, because the way that we interact in the circles is very intimate. It's very authentic. You know, when you're sitting in a circle, basically there's nowhere to hide.
Right.
And so it takes that willingness to really show up as you are and to allow yourself to be seen. And I always say, you know, the thing that we are most afraid of is to be seen and judged.
Mm-hmm.
That is the fear that everyone comes in. But then you have this experience of being seen and accepted and appreciated for who you are. And for so many women, it completely changes their life. Mm-hmm. It's a very powerful experience.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like it. Do you run these like on a weekly basis that people can just keep coming back and continue to heal?
Yes, there's, you know, a circle can range from an hour. It could be a weekly thing. When I do the circle work training, it's a full week that mm-hmm. we are actually living together.
Mm-hmm.
And I also do retreats that are 3 or 4 days. So it can have any structure. But it is important to me as I train women that they go back into their communities and that there be some kind of ongoing support.
Mm-hmm.
Because I always say it really is a spiritual practice. It's not like, oh, I've done this workshop and I don't need to do it again. You know, you come to the circle over and over, and the more you come, the more that sense of wholeness and community begins to grow roots inside of you. So that women often say, you know, wherever I go now, my circle is with me.
That's beautiful. Can you tell us of someone that's really been changed by the circle? You don't have to use their names, but somebody that just comes to mind that's really had an epiphanies along the way about coming in and healing and growth.
Yeah, there's so many stories. But I think, for example, of one woman who when she came to the circle, she felt like she didn't have a voice. And she said, well, I grew up in a family where there just was, I was not really heard. It wasn't an abusive family or anything, but it was a big family and she was quiet. And so she just basically clammed up and figured nobody really wants to hear what I have to say. And in the course of this circle, she began to realize, oh my God, these women really are interested. They want to hear my voice. And bit by bit, she came out of her shell, and she became such a strong, outspoken woman. And she has in her own family now, she has a strong voice in her community. She leads circles herself. So she really says, you know, that before I came to the circle, I didn't really have a voice. And now I do. Mm. And that's something I hear over and over.
And this will help bring, I mean, most of us come back to a circle every day and sit with our families in a circle. This will change the way that we encounter everyone in the family after the circle work.
It does. It absolutely does. Yeah. Because the way that we interact in the circle, it includes a lot of what I call deep listening. So in the circle, there is a structure where what I call a talking stone, is being passed around, and there is a rule that only the person that is holding that stone is allowed to speak, and you do not interrupt them. And so that ensures that each person really gets to speak. They don't have to worry that they're going to be interrupted or cut short. And it begins to change how people talk and listen out in the world. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a much greater capacity to really just be present with another person. A lot of times we're with people, but we're not fully present because we're already in our head figuring out what we're going to say next or whatever. You know, this capacity to just open our heart to someone and really be present with them. And the other thing that I think is very important is that we learn to transform judgment. You know, judgment is really the one thing that undermines our relationships a lot of times. And, of course, it does come up in the circle. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that I teach women is ways to transform your judgments and ways to express your own needs that are not judgmental. And that in itself makes such a difference in our relationships.
Wow. And so everybody in this circle gets the talking stone and gets a voice and gets to talk and say...
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Is there more than just talking going on? Is there more in the circle than just talking? Is there movement? Is there anything else to bring them together?
You ask, because there are a lot of circles that just talk. But the practice that I teach, which is called circle work, involves a lot more than just talking. Because our intention is really to connect with our hearts and our souls. Mm-hmm. And that means we have to get out of our head. Usually when we come to the circle, we're so in our head. And so there's a lot of practices that we use that help us calm down the mind. And so there is movement, there are movement practices, there is music. A lot of times we are in beautiful natural environments, so we go outdoors. There is touch. There are all these different practices that are designed to help us connect very deeply with ourselves.
This is beautiful work, Djalila. I'm going to have to go to a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to continue to talk about your circle work.